Yo, everybody, welcome to episode 50 of Get Your Nerd On Podcast with me, P90. Today, we are going to be going over a lot of shit that we didn't get to for the final episode before I take a fucking break, like a real break, and actually try and, you know, get the shit back in normal order for next year. So, we got a lot of stuff coming. I'll mark it when it happens, but there's going to be spoilers for Spider-Man No Way Home. There's going to be spoilers on Halo Infinite. There's going to be a lot of talking, a lot of stuff that I want to get to today. But, yeah, I'm back for 50, and we about to have some fun. So, let's get to the shits. So, recently, I have been, what the fuck have I been doing? I have been reading Daredevil again. I finished a book. What book? Oh, so I got this dope ass app. It's not a sponsor. I just wanted to use this app just because this shit is cool if you like organization. It's called Bookly. I ain't gonna tell you everything about it, but just know you could track your reading. That's all I'm saying, because I'm not getting paid for this shit. Oh, I finished the light novel for another episode S-0 or, yeah, I'm gonna go, yeah, zero. That's what it looks like. And I give it like 3.5 stars. It was a really good book, bro. I really enjoyed it as in another fan, but at the beginning I was kind of lost. Oh, the music in the background, it's from Halo. I'm waiting for the post-credit scene. So if y'all hear Halo music in the background, I just beat Halo because I was, you know, prepping for the podcast and I was taking my sweet time. But anyway, yeah, and now I'm reading Stephen King If It Bleeds book. That shit's pretty good too. I'm enjoying that. Let's see, I got back on Daredevil, Bendis, yeah, Bendis Volume 2, I just got a Batwoman Omnibus, so I'm about to blow through this Daredevil shit and read that. I know I'm supposed to read Fatal Attraction X-Men, but goddamn, I'm so behind on comics. I tried playing the Gunk, it was not that bad of a game. I just beat Halo, like I said. What else? I haven't been playing the MP that much, but I'm gonna get some in before the end of this podcast so I could talk about it. I seen Spider-Man No Way Home, so you know we about to talk about that shit. I already mentioned that earlier. Man, I just been chilling. A lot of work and whatnot, yeah. I mean my boy came through. We got drunk and shit. Me, him, and homegirl went to the freaking bars. You know, we was getting lit, bro. So we had a good week, man. It was a fun week. Fun weekend, so that was dope. That was good. But I mean, that's really it that I could think of. If anything, you know, I'll say that shit randomly during the pod, but that's it for the catch up, y'all, you know what I mean? But I guess we can go straight to see, this is kind of why I wish it was live, man. I don't know what to do first. All right, I'll do the video games first and then we'll get to the movies later. So we're gonna start with the awards, then some news, then some Halo, and then some Spider-Man. And then anything else I'm going to throw in at the end if something come up in the meantime. But that's what we're going to do. So let's get to that then. All right. So at the Game Awards, it was like a 2-hour ceremony this year. And it was actually really, really dope, filled, packed with something for everyone. People complained about the time, but I think it was great. To me, I don't know. I like game stuff, bro. Like, I can sit here and watch game-related stuff all day. But that's me. Like, I genuinely enjoy that shit. So I was happy with the time. It was great. The live music was phenomenal. I mean, I was at work watching it, but I was able to enjoy 99% of it. It was very much... Wait, was I at work that day? I actually don't remember anymore. Anyway, it was pretty damn... Nope, I was off that day. It was pretty damn good. So we're going to start off more with announcements, and then we'll go to who won the awards that I care about and how I felt about that. So let's go. A Plague Tale Requiem showed new footage with a 2022 release year. Alan Wake 2 announced it's going to be a real, what did they call it? I want to say they said something about it being like an action survival horror. It's taking a deeper step than the original Alan Wake, which is going to be very interesting, and it's coming to all systems, sadly. But hey, any Alan Wake fan out there, you're getting the second game. Among Us VR got announced. Crossfire X gets a trailer and a release date set for February 10th. I have not been hearing good things about it. At least from the IGN crew on the Xbox side, they did not seem to enjoy their play of the game, and I'm a little upset about that. I mean, I'm gonna play the game, of course, but it's upsetting to hear some real Xbox fans disliking the game, especially Xbox fans that do reviews for a living. Cuphead DLC The Delicious Last Course announced for June 30th. Destiny 2 The Witch Queen showed new footage, and it looked really fucking cool. I liked it. It gave such an eerie feel. I want to get back into Destiny, specifically for all this extra, all this DLC and stuff that they got coming out. We got Dying Light 2 Stay Human showed a story trailer this time. Yo, I'm not gonna lie, for like 5-10 seconds into the thing, I did not realize that that was Dying Light 2. So that was actually a pretty good trailer. Elden Ring revealed a story trailer, which is cool. Alright, I mean, I know what everyone else wants. I know what I want from that game. But I'll take a story trailer too. That doesn't make me too mad. I'm happy we got something. Something's better than nothing. At least that's how I feel. Fall Guys reveal Nightmare Before Christmas skins. Final Fantasy VII Remake Integrate coming to PC December 16th. Forspoken, the PlayStation game, got a release date of May 24th. And it looks really, really fun. I like the character designs and everything. But for some reason, I have the tiny thought that it looks a little bit different than when it was originally announced, but I still like it. I'm enjoying it. I mean, that's one of the few things I'm gonna turn my PlayStation on for. It looks pretty cool. What else we got? We had the Halo TV series. They released like a 1 minute trailer and it didn't give us too much, but it looks pretty good. It looks interesting. Although I heard that the show is not going to be following the story canon. It's going to be in its own sliver of timelines. And I don't like that. The reason I don't like it is because I wanted it to be a spin-off. I wanted it to cover things that the game didn't cover. That maybe the book covered. But either we didn't get too much detail of it, and they wanted to flesh it out more. I like things when they're in the same universe. That's all. Because it kind of bothers my collection. Like, I have a weird brain, alright? See, once you start telling me something might not be in the main universe that I grew up loving, that's when I start to be like, dude, does it fucking matter? Do I need to support this? It doesn't even contribute to anything. It doesn't contribute to the 20 years of something you've been building. That's like when Danganronpa V3... was like, oh yeah, all those timelines don't exist. And it's just like, what the fuck? I don't even want another game. I don't even like this game anymore because now if I beat the game, everything doesn't exist. Like, what? That makes zero sense. That's why now when I play that game, I just don't play the last, I cut it off right when I win the last I can't think. We're gonna move on. Argument. Yeah, there we go. Trial. Ha, there you go. Horizon Forbidden West showed new trailer, another game we already know much about, and I mean, I'm excited for it. I'm gonna try and beat it. I didn't beat the first one. I just couldn't. I don't know, something about it was just like, after maybe I put 15 hours into it, but that's because I like to look around for stuff. But I'm definitely like halfway or more than halfway done with the story, but I just can't beat it. I just don't want to beat it. I don't know. Hellblade 2 trailer was revealed, and that looked great. All of that was supposedly in-game engine off of the Xbox Series X, which makes sense. People don't believe it, but then you gotta think about it. The game was just a walking simulator with minimal combat. There's not much HUD in the game or anything, so it's very easy to believe that game, what they showed us, was really running off of the system. The game is a mixture of cinematic with non-cinematic. You just can't barely tell because there's no heads-up display. So it's like, if you don't play the game, if you watch someone play the game, you'll just assume that it's either a movie or you just won't know when the movie cuts in. Because it has really good cuts. Like, the zoom-ins and the zoom-outs into cutscenes, fucking phenomenal. Like, one of the best cutscene cuts ever. What else we got? Saints Row showed their trailer, and I disagree with everyone who dislikes it. I think that it looks like a Saints Row game if it was modernized for the current climate of the actual real world and then made more advanced. That's all it looks like. It just looks like it's trying to cater to new people and anyone who wants to try, who love the old games. And if that's the case, they're doing a good job. Sonic Frontiers announced and a trailer revealed. Although I believe the Sonic Frontiers game was that one game that we saw from the Sega thing where they gave us a super tiny glimpse, but we got like a cool trailer. It's not like mind-blowing graphics or anything, but it's like Sonic 06. So we're getting Sonic in a very realistic looking world, and he looks great. It's a good looking game. It looks fun. It looks like they're going to give us Sonic 06 and fix everything that we hated about it. So that means no silver. I'm a silver hater, yes. What else do we got? We had the Suicide Kill the Justice League gameplay reveal trailer. I'm calling it gameplay myself because a lot of the stuff in there looked like gameplay without an HUD up on there. I don't know if I like it. I'm not excited for it. It really just doesn't look, I don't know, man. When I think of a Suicide Squad game, I guess that's not what I was expecting to get. But I understand from a design standpoint, because I've been thinking about this for a long time on how do you make a multiplayer game that's not a multiplayer game. Like, how do you make Suicide Squad into a proper video game? I haven't played Guardians of the Galaxy yet, but I'm thinking that maybe you do it somehow how Guardians of the Galaxy is done. But then you have to think about how smart you make the AIs, how dumb you make the AIs, and then team swapping if they're swapping, if we're not keeping the same teammates. So I can't wait to get my hands on the game and play it, because I'm very concerned for this game, not gonna lie. Very, very concerned. What else do we got? We got Tiny Tina's Wonderland showed story trailer, and the game's just as funny as always. But the best thing out of the whole thing that got announced was a Wonder Woman game. We're getting a Wonder Woman game. I'm so excited. I cannot wait to throw her shield. I can't wait to dodge or block bullets with my bracelets. I can't wait to play this game. Bro, if Microsoft doesn't buy WB and just give us like the dopest fucking DC games, I'm gonna be upset. Because we could get really, really great games. I know this Wonder Woman game is gonna be phenomenal. Like, I love the idea of Wonder Woman getting a game, bro. It's just, it's just great. Like, it's Wonder Woman, bro. Wonder Woman is awesome. Who doesn't want a Wonder Woman game? It's like Captain America, but better. Like, much better, in my opinion. Alright, so that was all the stuff that was announced there. I did like a lot of the announcements. They were really good. And I don't know. I thought everything was worth watching. There's some people who were just like, I didn't really need that. And I'm just like, I thought it was good. Anyway, whatever. We're going to go on to the winners of the shit. Starting from the top. Game of the Year. It Takes Two was the winner. It beat Deathloop, Metroid Dread, Psychonauts 2, Ratchet and Clank, and Resident Evil Village. Didn't want Resident Evil Village to win. Definitely wanted Psychonauts to win. My second choice was Metroid Dread. I'm really, really, really surprised that It Takes Two won. The only reason, my biggest reason for being surprised is because I personally just feel like if gamers voted for this. I think gamers voted for every single category. So if we voted for this, I want to know how many people played It Takes Two. The game is phenomenal. Don't get me wrong. I'm playing it right now, and it's really great co-op game. Wonderful story. Super funny. I highly recommend playing that game. But I just want to know how many fans voted for it. Because, again, I'm sure the staffs of everybody who worked in all these review places probably voted for it, too. Because they all have their own separate accounts. I'm just wondering if it was, you know, a fair win. Nah, it was definitely a fair win. He does deserve that. I just really wish Psychonauts won, because that game was absolutely beautiful. Like, I enjoyed every single second of it. But I can see why other people didn't. And why it was probably, like, bottom of the it was gonna win poll. I don't know. But congrats to them. Best game direction went to Deathloop, which I understand. That is a wonderful game direction. The whole loop mechanic, that idea of the story and everything, that's really cool. But I think Returnal or Psychonauts should have took that, because Returnal is the closest thing I'm getting to fucking Metroid Dread in this category. And Psychonauts 2 really, really did this dope shit with mental health and putting it into the game while also making the game a little creepy at certain points. Like, I loved all that. It was... I think they should have won. I think they should have won everything. Best narrative out of Deathloop, It Takes Two, Life is Strange, True Colors, Psychonauts 2, and Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy. The winner is Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy. I think it should have been Life is Strange. I really do. Best art direction, Deathloop, Kena, Psychonauts 2, Ratchet and Clank, The Artful Escape. Somehow Deathloop won best art direction. I can't wait for this game to come to Xbox so I can fucking see why it won all this shit. The best winner of them all, right here. Best sound music, Cyberpunk 2077. Deathloop, Nier Replicant, Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, The Artful Escape. And of course, Nier Replicant won. I am so happy for that. That makes me happy. Nier has the best music in all of video game franchise. All. Best audio design, Deathloop, Forza Horizon 5, Ratchet and Clank, Resident Evil, Returnal. There's only two people who deserve to be on this list, if I'm being completely honest. Maybe three. Forza, Resident Evil, and Returnal. Ratchet and Clank and Deathloop. Alright, I haven't played Deathloop, but I'm honestly positive that their audio design doesn't even match up to Forza or Resident Evil. I could be so wrong, and I would definitely, you know, I'll always walk back my takes if I'm wrong. But I just feel like Forza has way too many things to tune up in its game to the point where no one on this list can even get close to it. Returnal has really nice noises on the sides, like everything around you, because the entire world is alive, and they do a good job making you remember that with all the noise going on, and everything sounds so different. And then Resident Evil, just being a horror game, I just know that, I mean, I played it, but I also know that when you do horror, audio design is very, very important if you want to creep out your your audience. Best performance, Maggie Robertson from Resident Evil Village. I'm assuming that was Lady Diamestru. And I think it should have went to Erica from Life is Strange. But hey, congrats to her. Maggie is a wonderful performer. Like, she did a very, very beautiful job. She also, if she is a character, I think she is. She also kind of, you know, looks like her. She's tall as fuck, bro. She walked on that stage and I was like, oh. They just gave it to her because they're scared. She could pick them up and throw them across the stage. Nah, she rightfully deserved it. Games for Impact. Life is Strange True Colors won against No Longer Home, Boyfriend Dungeon, Before Your Eyes, and A Colorful Tale. Best Ongoing Game. Final Fantasy 14 Online. Beat Apex Legends, Call of Duty, Fortnite, and Genshin Impact. Best Indie Game. Can a Bridge of Spirits beat Death's Door, Inscription, Loop Hero in 12 minutes? I think 12 minutes was fucking great. But okay. Okay. Best Duet Indie Game. Kenna beat Sable, The Artful Escape, The Forgotten City, and Valheim. You know, these are some pretty good awards. Some of the winners, as I'm going back over it, some of these winners definitely deserved it. Forza took home two awards, which makes me happy. Age of Empires took home Best Sim. I'm surprised Microsoft Flight Simulator didn't take home fucking Best Sim. Wow. That's kind of crazy. But that's not all of them, but that was most of them. There's a shit ton of awards, bro. But, dog, it was a pretty good award show. I really enjoyed it. I'm a little upset that certain things didn't win, of course. But I can't wait for next year, especially since Xbox has finally got their footing. I don't know if the stuff that they want to come out is going to come out this year in time for it. Like, if I'm right, I think Starfield's coming out this year, but that's 11/11/22. But even then, Halo came out this year, and sorry, I was looking at a text message. You know I'd be distracted. Fucking Halo came out this year, so I hope to see Halo there next year. It definitely should win Best Shooter unless Xbox comes out with another fantastic shooter. I don't know if Hellblade's coming out this year. I already forgot about that. Like, the date. I don't think it's coming out this year. I think it's, like, next year, maybe. They don't have a release date, though. We're gonna get more on the game. Also, more Alan Wake news in the summer. Fable probably isn't coming out till next year. Perfect Dark probably isn't coming out for, like, 2 years. I don't know what they're dropping it. But I do know Xbox has some shit. So I can't wait to see them next year. And I know it's gonna be fun. And I wonder what PlayStation has in the tuck that they haven't showed us. Because we haven't seen too much. We just know Forsaken is the newest thing that we know nothing about that's coming. So I'm actually very, very interested to see what's going to happen with PlayStation then. You know what I mean? It's going to be a very interesting next year for gaming, especially since some people are going back to their offices. But then again, who knows, we might get bigger delays again. Yo, you know what, this is a powerful year for gaming, especially with all the with the crap that goes on and is going on. All right, off track. I'm staring at my comics and I'm a little bit bothered. So I have a shelf section for my omnibus, and then I have a shelf section for like normal hard covers, but my brain is kind of telling me to move all of my Marvel hard covers to the same shelf as the omnis. I'm not gonna do it, but my brain is just telling me to do it. But I won't do it because I'm getting more Marvel omnis. I need more shelves. This is why I need a bigger room. Also, it kind of looks like my shelf is tilting forward. Nah. Anyway, on to whatever the heck I said the next thing was going to be. But overall, love the Game Awards. Very fantastic job. Can't wait for next year's. One day I hope I can either go there in person, or one day I'll just be up there opening an award for someone. That'd be dope. And then when I open the award, it's either going to be for Nair, or it'll be for my own game. Someone will be opening award for, or it'll be for an Xbox game. But regardless, one day, a man can dream, can't he? I mean, shit, I've been writing this one video game for like a year now. It's gonna blow the motherfucking tops off the motherfucking roof, guys. It's gonna, all right, fine. Next subject. So, I beat Halo Infinite on Legendary. I didn't get all the skulls yet. I got most of them. I'm missing two. Because the last level was fucking difficult to do on Legendary and try and get the skull. And then one of them I just fucking overlooked. Alright. Overall, the game was really, really, good. I give it a 9 out of 10. This will have spoilers. I tagged it in the comments. So, and I said at the beginning. So if you're still listening and you're mad because it spoiled something, piss off. I love you though, but piss off. All right, guys. So, overall, game, beautiful. 9 out of 10. Scenery, awesome. Very, very much the same. There was not really any difference. It was a lot of greenery. I mean, every Halo is different, but they also have artificial weather manipulation, control, stuff like that. So I'm surprised there hasn't been snow, but I'm hoping there's snow in the next one and maybe even rain. All I know is they actually should really, really start to mess around with some of those functions. Maybe even darker nights. All right. Depending on how long they take to make this game, the next one, they should mess with night mode and then using the light that gets projected from things in the game illuminate the sky every now and then. So, like, everyone knows that the beacons shoot out a very colorful beam into the sky. Those should be able to light, like, it should be dark enough where those can light up the sky a little bit and you can see them off the side of your screen and stuff like that. Like, that would be fucking dope. All right, if all the light felt realistic. Now, it doesn't need to be pitch black, but be dark enough for us to be like, all right, we need to use our flashlight a little bit more, we need to be a little bit more cautious, we can be stealthy. But that's the other thing. It's hard to program night AIs, stealthy AIs, I guess. It's either we make them dumb or we make them resilient. So I kind of get why stealth is hard for Halo for the type of game it is. But that would be a really, really cool thing to add in. On top of that, past that. The story was really good. All right, I saw complaints about the story. I listened to people complain about the story a little bit, but I think it was really cool, especially the ending. The ending felt proper. It felt like, all right, this is the end of Master Chief starting his Zeta Halo story and finally ending his thing with Cortana. Got it? Boom. But we left something open for the future. There's something bigger coming. And you have a new buddy to help you. And I think that was really good. I mean, the Harbinger was a really cool character, even though she was short-lived. I really enjoyed Atrium and thought he was pretty cool. Like, I liked the way he was written. He was literally just Master Chief from a different race when you really think about it. And I loved it because after listening to the audiobooks, Chief really does seem like himself. Like, Chief is actually pretty damn honorable. All right, so Chief is like bred for killing. Like, he just loves doing his job. Like, he really does. In the books, the dude gets fucking hype whenever he knows he has to go and go kill some aliens and whatnot. But I guess the way Atrium approached him with this situation and the way he was begging for the fight, Chief gave it to him respectfully. So when it was time for Atrium to die, he kind of like showed him a bit of compassion, like a warrior's type of compassion. And he understood. He was just like, he was doing what he hoped was right for his people. Just like, I'm doing what I hope is right for mine. Like, I love that. It's not taking away Chief's humanity, even though he may seem like he has none at times. And it's also Chief being the Boy Scout that he kind of is. And I really, really like that about him and his character, the way that they were writing his character here. I'm very sad that we lost Cortana, but it's really cool that we have Cortana. Like, So at the end of the game, this whole game is also a big send-off to Cortana, and I love it. And it's also a very interesting way of Chief rebuilding a relationship and a trust. All right, so like as the game goes on, you see that Weapon, he doesn't trust her at all. And there's a reason why. It's not because AIs. It's because he knows that she is basically a copy of Cortana if Cortana never chose Chief. And it's really, really interesting. And then their relationship kind of changes from that. And she gradually begins to understand it more and more. At first, like when he was acting weird and tried to delete her, she was pissed off. But then when she found that out, the real issue, she was slowly starting to open back up. And then eventually they finally said, yes, fuck it, we're a team. And I loved it. It was really, really good. Like, that game was done so well. And now there's time traveling mechanics. Now, I mean, they're not, I don't want to say mechanics. There's a little bit of time traveling going on here now. And I don't want to say that like there's never has been. It's just now it's blatantly here, right? So Atriox just seems to be still alive. And Master Chief also went through a portal that took him 3 days to come out of, or it pushed him 3 days into the future. Either way, same difference. So there's some time manipulation going on soon. I wonder how that's going to play into the main story. Somehow Atriox was able to use this time manipulation in some way to save himself from the destruction. So it seems like it does have some sort of limit, because he wasn't able to just stop the destruction of his planet from happening when Cortana blew up their whole planet. But he was able to do something to make it out alive. But that would also mean that Cortana kind of failed, because, you know, if Atriox died and Etrium died, shit could have changed. But if Atriox is back, then I don't know, man. Some shit could go down in a very not so nice way. In the game there's weapons that you can get that are modified versions of the normal weapons, and I really thought those were cool. I hope that they do something like adding them into the game. Maybe if we do get the Battle Royale version of Halo Infinite, they'll have those type of guns in there. You can find them. They'll be like the more rare ones. Because listen, we're going to get a Battle Royale version. I know we are. It makes sense. And it's totally fine. The multiplayer is really good to me. I really think that the multiplayer is great. And if they can make it greater and then do the BR, that's totally fine with me. I'll be on both. I'm here for it, dog. It just, listen, why not, okay? People don't want Halo BR. They want their multiplayer. But guess what? We have the multiplayer. So as long as the multiplayer is always properly tended to, I have no problem with them giving us a Battle Royale of Halo. I would like, as long as I can get shot from the sky in a pod, an ODST pod, that would be great. I would love that. But first, we need this revive mode that they haven't dropped yet to come out. They also updated the multiplayer playlist on the multiplayer side. I'm very excited for that. We now have Tactical Slayer, which is SWAT, Fiesta, Free For All Slayer. We have a couple of things. And it's good. That means they're listening to us. And eventually we will be getting the progression system, which I definitely cannot wait for. I'm very excited for that. But overall, Halo's been a very, very fun ride so far. I'm extremely happy with what we've gotten, and I can't wait for more. Supposedly there might be DLC. If there's DLC, I'm going to play the fuck out of it. I'm about to play the game again, actually. I want to do it on normal and just, like, speed run it and get my last two skulls. And I'm going to go back one more time and do Lasso, which is legendary with all skulls on. Pain in the ass. Yes, I know. But we'll see how that turns out. We will. But yeah, that's really all I got to share about Halo for now. I mean, let me see if there's anything else needed to be said about the game.
Actually, there are some things that I do dislike. I don't really like harkening on the dislike stuff. But I don't like the ranking system whatsoever. It seems very positive KD based and not much win-loss based. I mean, maybe a little bit of winning is involved in there, but it's such a weird ranking system. I think that each rank should definitely have its own, not each rank, each match type should definitely have its own little system. So, like, all the objectives should have different types of grading systems. And all the, capture the flag, right? They should have, flag holders should get a different amount of rank points. Maybe 1 per second, something like that. And then people who protect the flag are in the vicinity of the flag holder should get another set of points. Stuff like that. Like, I think that if they utilized the proximity of the flag carrier and utilize getting the flag or even the ball and protecting the ball, if they use some type of a proximity type scoring method, I feel like it would be the absolute best type of ranking system. Something that makes people want to go for the objective and or protect the objective. That would be useful. That I would love. And then when you're in Slayer, then it's just, all right, the better the KD, the more points you could get. That would be cool. I'm totally down with something like that. Otherwise, they have a pretty shitty ranking system. Other than that, what else do I dislike? I am upset about the coloring cores, but at the same time, I'm okay. I found two cores that I like, so, like, I'll live. But it would have been nice to be able to really do whatever the hell you want with those cores or with those colors. That would have been exciting. Instead of just being like, yeah, we're gonna pitch them how we want, and then you just have to unlock them. And then there's the store. Like, alright, cool. I get it that you need some moolah, because maybe every division, maybe every division, you know, has to pay for their own stuff. That's what I was trying to say. Maybe every division has to pay for their own stuff and stuff like that. Like, they get a budget, and then the rest is you make up your money, and that's how the spending works. If it's something like that, sure, I get it, and I'm with it. I understand. But make it, I mean, those prices are a little ridiculous. Make it a little bit more, I don't know, friendly to the gamers. Make them want to spend money on your thing. But hey, it is what it is. The game is great. I'm loving it. I've been playing a lot of ranked, and it's literally so much fun. Although there's a winter thing coming out today. I wonder how that's going to turn out. I'm very excited tomorrow to play it when I wake up or after work, because, you know, I'm probably gonna go to work by the time this shit updates for the winter thing. I wonder how the other events are gonna be, because this is a live service game, so I'm very excited to see how this all plays out. But that is officially it with Halo. Now we're going to go spoil the fuck out of Spider-Man, and then maybe some gaming news, maybe not. Alright, so, Spider-Man No Way Home released, and it was a good 2 hours and like 40-ish minutes, something like that. It was definitely a lengthy movie, and boy was it good. That movie was like a 9 out of 10 for me. I really, really enjoyed the fuck out of that film. It had a lot of, had some really cool references in it. It had some really dope action scenes going for it. Damn. Let me see. I'm trying to think of which order I want to go into it. I'm just going to get to the shits. All right. So since this is a spoiler one, we're going straight to the awesome part. All the Spider-Mans did a fucking phenomenal job. Like, I really enjoyed every single second of all the spiders when they finally met and how they came in. It was kind of cheesy, but it was really cool because it absolutely made sense. So Ned has Dr. Strange's ring and he's doing magic. And then they're like, find Spider-Man. And then eventually they end up bringing in a Spider-Man from Andrew Garfield Spider-Man. And then I'm just like, yo, that's fucking dope. And they do the same thing for Toby. And then it's like, all right, so it's kind of expected when he started doing the find Spider-Man that maybe they're not going to find the right Spider-Man. But, dog, nah, that shit was dope. I enjoyed every second of that. I also enjoyed them bringing back their villains. That was also a really, really, they did that in a pretty good way. I mean, one thing I really wish that they focused a lot on bringing fucking, I wish they focused more on letting the villains flesh out more. Like, I would have been able to live with another 40 minutes. I would have watched that movie for 4 hours, bro. If there was some way they could have wrote the villains to, if there was some way they could have wrote the villains to be more fleshed out in some way, to have more interactions throughout the city, something like that. I don't know. I really liked the way they wrote the villains this time. Like, they wrote their ass off and they were really, really cool. And I loved how they turned. Like, Electro came in, he was like, yo, this new me feels so great in this city. It's not the same as before. Like, I don't think I ever want to go back. Boom. And then you have Doc Ock, who he actually does change for the better in the movie. And it's really cool. Like, after he gets his chip fix, he just, like, he's not necessarily a good guy, but he's not as evil as he was before. He's a free-thinking person, and it's wonderful. Like, it's cool. They did a good job bringing all these different characters in and making them feel like they were just another continuation of where they originally came from. They didn't bring them in and then all write them in like they were supposed to, like they originated in the MCU verse. And that's what I loved about it, especially the different personalities of each Peter Parker. That is something that I love. It's like a comic book. It's like when someone crosses over in a Spider-Man comic or a Batman comic that usually isn't in the comic, and the writer knows exactly how they're supposed to act in that situation, and it feels super organic. Love that. That's like, that is dope. There's a lot to say about this movie, and then it's like, all right, so the next thing I'm going to just skip to the post-credit scene. That was, also, dog, Ame died, and bro, that was wonderful. Like, Spider-Man has got to the dark side. Like, all right, the last two movies, his solo movies, were really lighthearted and kind of fun. Even Civil War was just like a fun introduction for him. That was great. And then this movie was just like, all right, Peter, your life's going to go to hell and you're going to have to cope with that as being a superhero. Everything's not going to be so beautiful all the time. It's not going to be so fun. There's so much responsibility that's going to happen. And I really, really like that because he has great stories that are colorful and he has great stories that are dark, and he has to like deal with stuff and help other people deal with stuff. But he also has to keep on a nice face most of the time. It's really cool. But the post-credit scene, we see Venom, and he's talking about this Peter Parker person. You know, it's really, really interesting. So he's talking to this dude at the bar, and Doctor Strange finishes a spell and ends up sending everyone back to their home. But Venom leaves a little piece of symbiote behind. That pisses me off because I wanted Eddie in this universe. Like, he was going to New York. That would have been so fucking cool. But we're going to have a Venom somehow because he left a piece behind. But, like, I don't like that. I mean, it gives them, like, I understand it. It gives them a piece to rewrite their own. So if they want to do it better than the Sonyverse did it, they have their ticket now. But I don't know. We'll see. I mean, hey, who knows? Maybe they'll do it in a way where Fantastic Four and them come, and then Peter has the suit, and then he asks Reed Richards to analyze the suit for him and help him, and then he tells him that the suit is alive and hurting him, and then he takes off the suit, and then, like, most of that movie is just, see, that's why we need a show, because I feel like certain people wouldn't appreciate that, but it'd be really cool if we had a movie of Spider-Man just being Black Suit Spider-Man. Like, him getting the suit, using the suit, Reed telling him to take it off, him taking it off, and then not fighting anyone yet. Like, that would be cool. Or maybe a slight fight. Or maybe, I don't know, it would be really cool to flesh it out. You know, and then the suit comes, and then you have Venom eventually trying to terrorize Peter. But then when the movie comes out, then it's a full-on fight. That would be dope. And then Kraven eventually gets his hands on it. And then eventually, but it's just the suit, not really the full Venom. And then, yo, be fucking dope, alright? There's things that they can do that makes this a good idea. But then it's just like, dog, but I really wanted Eddie Brock. The one that we have right now. But I'm here for it. That also means that we can get Carnage back. But I also don't think that Venom piece forgot about Peter. Because Hive Mind, right? Boom, boom, bada bing, bada bing. To my knowledge, only people who forgot about Peter really is people in his world. I think that people across the multiverses and stuff, whoever knows who whoever is, they still know. I think that includes the Clintar, aka the Venoms. So I think whoever gets that Venom piece might be the only person to remember who Peter is when it comes to when it comes to bear. I think maybe he'll get into a fight with Peter, or he'll find Peter and want to wear him specifically because he knows it's Peter, or he'll get into a fight with Spider-Man and then be like, wait, we know this one. It's Peter Parker. And then someone's like, who's Peter? And then their memories come back, kind of like the comics. When people started remembering who Peter was, they started getting their memories back a little bit. And they're like, wait, you wiped my memory without telling me? I don't know. We'll see what happens with that. But movie was really good overall. I'm excited to see what happens next for the Spider-Man movies. The next trilogy, definitely, I would not be surprised if it's like fucking Dumb Dark or some shit like that. Of course, we'll see. But I think it's gonna be like some crazy, wonderful darkness. I'm here for it though. I'm definitely here for it. Other than that, yeah, that's all I got for you. I mean, all the gaming news was really from the Gaming Awards. I did check to see if there was much news. It's not that much news, really. And I didn't read any comics in, like, a long time. I'm not gonna lie. I've been trying to read Daredevil by Bendis. And I've been reading books. Like, I just finished another. That shit was good. But other than that, yeah, I haven't really been doing much, but I will read some comics this Thursday, possibly. So we'll see what happens. Maybe I'll take some notes again. You're going to hate me for all you people who do sit here and listen to the comics. I'm probably going to skip what I missed, and whatever I pick up, I'm just going to continue from there. Sorry, but that's what's probably gonna happen. All right, y'all, have a good one, and there's your 50 minutes of hits.